Welcome to Workshop 5, I think this is. This is Mark Ward. Mark is pastor of First Baptist Church in Tipton, Indiana. And the topic is Biblical Philosophy of Discipleship in the Local Church.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share in these short minutes that we have together. Help me to articulate this truth of discipleship clearly, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you take your booklets, just open them up and we'll walk through the booklet today. My name is Mark Ward. A lot of you may not know me. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My dad was a nuclear engineer, and I was saved at age 10 off the bus ministry. And I had a little different life journey than most people. When I was a teenager, my dad got a promotion with his company. My dad worked for a large American-based company. If I mention the name, some of you would know it. And at age 13, we were living in Cairo, Egypt, on the Nile River. My dad did a project for the Egyptian government, and I was saved. I had been saved for 3 years, saved off the bus ministry, wasn't really grounded in my faith. And when we moved to Egypt, I went to an American Protestant church that was not Baptist, but it was a Bible-preaching evangelical church. In that church was a youth pastor from Moody Bible Institute. How many of you have heard of Moody? All of us have. And he took me under his wings, me and several of the men, young men in the youth group, and discipled me and grounded me in the truths of Scripture. And it was life-changing. When I came back to the States at age 16, we moved to the panhandle of Florida, and I got involved in an independent Baptist church. My mom and dad thought I had joined a cult. I got involved in the bus ministry. I was a bus captain at age 17, and the rest is history. God called me to preach. I went off to Bible college, went off to Pensacola Christian College. The rest is history. Married my wife, met my wife there. And I've been in ministry for 20 years. So I have a unique, what we would call, life story. But I don't think I would be standing here today if that graduate from Moody Bible Institute didn't take me under my wing and say, hey, every week let's meet for an hour and a half. And let's memorize Scripture. And he taught me the fundamentals of the faith. Okay? That is discipleship. Are you with me? Say amen. Okay. So, what I have tried to do, when I went into the ministry 23 years ago, I was a youth pastor in North Carolina, right out of Bible college, right out of Pensacola, moved right to North Carolina. 4 years, two years in the ministry, I was 24. The pastor suddenly resigned because of health reasons, and I became the pastor. And so I got frustrated with what to do with people that were coming in and out of the church. I just got frustrated. It wouldn't stay. And so someone taught me about discipleship. I knew what it was like because I had experienced it. But I was frustrated because I wasn't implementing it in my ministry. And so later on in my ministry, this has been about 14 or 15 years ago, I got on an airplane and I flew to New York, to Rochester, New York. There's a large church there called First Bible Baptist Church. Some of you may be familiar with that ministry. Brother Grace is the pastor there. He's been there for probably 25, 30 years. They have built their church on discipleship. And they taught me how to use these books. And for years, I used the 18 books that they gave us through their discipleship program. And I walk people through this individually and in a group setting. And we'll go over that in the time that we have. I have made a big transition, if you'll stay for the next session, if you want to. I have made a big transition in our ministry this year. We have all began to use the Continue books through Paul Chappell. And I'm going to teach you and walk you through that in the next session. So it's unique. I'm going to give you a little philosophy here. Maybe we'll have time for some questions and answers here in a couple minutes. But we're making the transition to this. Okay? So biblical philosophy of discipleship. If you look on page 3, here's some stats real quick. 41% of American Protestant churchgoers do not attend small classes or groups from their churches. 42% of American Protestant churchgoers intentionally spend time with other believers in order to help them grow in their faith. 54% of American churchgoers say they set aside time daily to a few times a week for private worship or praise or thanksgiving. 25% of churchgoers say they have shared their faith once. 14% have shared their faith 3 or more times over the last 6 months. And then this is the one that's sort of a big wake-up call. 19% of American Protestant churchgoers read their Bible every day. So you can see we need a lot of discipleship in our churches. Okay, so the biblical foundation, page 4, and these are not only the verses in the Bible, but I've listed several. The Great Commission. I'm a Great Commission preacher.
All right.
And I emphasize this in our ministry on a regular basis. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to what? Observe all things. So there's soul winning, baptism, and discipleship all right there in the Great Commission. Each year, and I've sort of picked this up from Dr. Chappell, he does this, and I know some of you probably do this, but every year we have a theme in our church. We promote the theme. This year's theme is Each One Can Reach One. It's all on our promo. It's in our auditorium. It's on our bulletins. It's at the Welcome Center. Everything is Each One Can Reach One. So we have a theme each year, and of course it's a different theme obviously each year, but our emphasis this year is on winning and teaching and discipling. 1 Timothy 4, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to doctrine, to exhortation. And so you see the principle of discipleship there. And then 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So there's the principle of discipleship. So what is discipleship? First of all, a disciple is a learner. Page 4-5. A disciple is a learner. We all should be learners of the truths of the Lord Jesus. To define discipleship is this, and this is not my own definition. I copied this, but it's good. It's pouring our life into others, training them in the Word and in relationships and in ministry so that they may develop as healthy believers who can walk by faith, share their faith, and multiply their faith with other people. That's discipleship. Okay, in a nutshell. Everybody get that? It's important to understand. Page 5. Training them in the Word in relationships and ministry. Okay, when we disciple people, when I disciple people, I'm meeting to share truth. Now, you can do that at Starbucks, which I have. You can do that in your office, which I do on a regular basis. You can do that in a lot of different venues. But the purpose of meeting is to communicate truth so that they can begin to grow. And I want you to understand that. I know that may sound elementary to a lot of you, and if that is the case, fine. But discipleship is more than eating donuts and drinking coffee. It's coming together one-on-one or in a group setting, and we'll look at that in just a second, and sitting down and teaching someone the truths of God's Word. It's being transparent, there's accountability, and we use a plan. And that's my next session, but I'll just give a commercial. Our plan for discipleship in our local church is our Continue study books. And we start from the beginning, very simple. We start from the beginning, and we'll take you through this. You say, how long does it take? As long as it needs to take. Okay? I'm not going anywhere. They're hopefully not going anywhere. Amen. And thank you. And we're just taking them through, walking them through the book. Used to, in my old discipleship, I use these, and I used this as recent as last year. This has 18 books. My goal was try to finish in 18 weeks. Okay, the way Paul Chappell has set up his book, he's done it beautifully, is it's about, you can probably get through it in about 4 months. Okay? And so I want you to take one, not to take it with you. Faith provided these, but I want you to look through it. If you want to look through the continue book, if you haven't already, leave it here. But we're going to sort of walk through, especially the next class. So I have a plan. I have a plan. I don't sit there and say, okay, well, what's your name? Okay, you've been saved. Okay, you've joined our church. Okay, what do you want to talk about? No, I have a plan of action. And the plan of action is what you're holding in your hand. This book is beautiful because you can do it individually or you can do it in a group setting. Now, in my opinion, again, I'm biased. I've used a lot of stuff over the years. And I have a couple other books I have used. But I think this is probably one of the best tools that's come out in recent years. It's just within a year old. So I know several of you are using it in your churches. And I encourage you to do it. It's inexpensive. This is $30 a set. Pretty salty, as we would say in Indiana. I can get these when they go on sale for $10 a book. So what I normally do is I say, okay, you've been saved, Miss Joan. I don't know what your name is, but Miss Joan, you've been saved. I'm going to get you the book. Can you pay $5? And we'll pay $5. You know, but money's not the issue. But if they can make some kind of commitment to purchase the book, then what's the chances of them staying? Greater, see. So that's what we do, and we don't pin her down and get your credit card number. You know, just when you can pay it in the next couple of weeks, and we have a little basket in our group setting, and they can put their money in. Okay, so how do we disciple? I've sort of answered that. Page 7. We can disciple individually or in a group setting. We'll talk a little bit about this quickly. Let me talk about individually. I schedule through the week times when I'm meeting with people. Now, I only meet with men in my church. And I think you understand the reason why. I would never meet with you privately unless my wife was with me. Okay? So we have ladies meet with ladies. We have men meet with men. Okay? In our group settings, what we're doing in our church is we have men discipleship groups and lady discipleship groups. That works for us. It may not work for you in your local church, but that seems to what works for us. So right now we have a men's group that is meeting on Wednesday night during church. And then when they are finishing up the continue book, we'll start it all over again and we'll do a woman's group in the same setting, same classroom by a woman teacher. And they will meet, the women will meet. Okay? Then our staff, and it's just two of us, Pastor Rob and myself, we are meeting through the week. As Carrie sort of mentioned, we use it as a time of fellowship, but we're meeting through the week with several people that we have won to the Lord or have been saved, and we're going through the continued study book. So what's happening, the dynamic of our church on a weekly basis is we have group discipleship that you can be a part of, or you can meet individually with the pastoral staff if we have a time slot. So I make time slots through the week. How many? Right now I'm discipling two men. Okay? One of them has been strung out on drugs and he just got out of prison. I'm a chaplain for our sheriff's department. So he was won to the Lord by one of our deacons in jail. And right now he's sort of on the fence. So we haven't met in the last several weeks. So I'm going to have to do some follow-up on him. And then I meet every Tuesday afternoon with a man in our church at 4:30 in the afternoon. OK, Okay? When I meet with people, and this is can be intimidating, I don't say, okay, we're going to meet for 3 hours. No, I don't do that. I say, okay, I want you to meet with me 1 hour. Can you give me 1 hour? 1 hour. Okay? If we finish early, we finish early, and then we'll start in the discipleship, in the continue book, and we'll meet for about an hour. We take prayer requests, we pray, and we'll get through the book. And then when the hour's through, I said, well, it's time to stop. See you in church tomorrow night or see you in church Sunday. We'll continue on. And usually, I like the continue book, and if you stay next session, we'll walk through some of it, but there's homework in the book. And so what I have found that has been effective for me, and you know, every church is different. Some churches build their ministries on soul winning, and I'm all for soul winning. Trust me, I mean, I believe it's important. Some churches build their ministries on discipleship. Some churches build their ministries on a counseling ministry. What I have found that has worked for me is discipleship takes care of a lot of the counseling issues in the person's life. Because it opens up the door for other issues to be dealt with. So I'm not a big... I've been to counseling conferences. I have counseling books. My wife has gone to Camp Kobiak with Debbie Pride. Some of you guys have had her in your camps settings. She's gone through sessions and training with Debbie Pride on women's issues. All that is important. And sometimes I have to refer my wife, a lady, to my wife. But I find that a lot of the counseling issues can be dealt with through discipleship. Okay, so page 8, I mentioned some of this. I said an hour and a half. I never go over an hour and a half. Hour to an hour and 15 minutes. Then we pray. Then we have discipleship 1. When they finish this book, we give them a certificate. Just a little certificate. Hey, you completed Discipleship 1. If they want to go on to Discipleship 2, I have a whole other curriculum I use. And I'm not really going to get into that today. But I have a whole other curriculum I've used. A couple of people I've taken through Discipleship 2. And there's Discipleship 3. So that's just sort of the plan that we use. Okay, I'm not here to really discuss 2 or 3, but there is a plan in place. And sometimes there's one young man in our church, I've met with him off and on for 5 years. Because he just keeps wanting to learn. So it's been helpful. It's been good. And he likes it. So it's been good. But we haven't met in like 6 months. So we're sort of on a sabbatical from that. But anyway, but here's some questions to ask. Page 9. Okay, as you think about discipleship, then I'll stop here. How many marriages were restored in your church last year? How many people are striving for holiness? How many men and women are holding each other accountable in our churches? How many addicts are experiencing victories over drugs, alcohol, or addictive behavior? How many groups are reproducing themselves in our churches? How many men and women are you investing in right now? And how is your schedule designed to make time to disciple people on a weekly basis? And on page 10 and 11, this is a copy from Robbie Gallaty, who wrote this book, Rediscovering Discipleship. He's a Southern Baptist pastor. I would highly recommend you purchase this book off Amazon. It's published by Zondervan. He is an expert on discipleship, and he has built several churches on discipleship ministry. And he gives a little paragraph or two about how Jesus was the rabbi that went around and he invested in how many men? 12. One betrayed him, but he poured his life into those men. And this was the story of the time that Jesus lived. And many rabbis traveled around the countryside in Israel and did the same thing like Jesus did. And he is obviously the true, he is the rabbi of rabbis, but he gives us a great example for this. Okay, now I want you to take your wheel. And I want to go look at this a couple minutes, and then I've got, what time I'm through? At 2:20? I've got 9 minutes or so. So take the wheel here, and let's walk through this real quick, and then we'll ask any questions. So the first point of contact with someone is you pray and you want someone to be born again, saved. Amen? So once they're saved, they're in that infant stage. You see where I am on the wheel? Okay, we share our life with them. We share the new truth with them. We share new habits with them. And that can be accomplished through discipleship. Okay, if I had led somebody to the Lord, if someone had been saved in our church, the very first thing we would do is make sure they have a Bible, and we would teach them the habit of daily Bible reading. Okay, you got to get in the Word. It's simple. Then we want to lead them on to connect to God through prayer, through small group, and connect with our church family. As Carrie said just wonderfully earlier, piggybacking on some of his ideas, we want those relationships to begin to be built through our local church. Then our goal is to bring them to train to minister to others, equip them for ministry, provide ministry opportunities for them, and then release them to do ministry in our church. Usually a good place to start is the nursing home or visitation or something like that. You know, if I led you to the Lord 3 months ago, I'm not going to put you in a Sunday school class to teach an adult Sunday school class. Okay, but maybe a year from now or 2 years from now, if they show great growth, I will do that. And then our goal is to bring them to the place where they will make disciples themselves. So the wheel here is really good. Take this, and of course you can add to it, but it gives you a visualized plan of the process from a person, from the time a person is saved to reproducing themselves. And that follows the model of 2 Timothy 4:4, the things that thou hast learned, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So there's a process we do it. Discipleship, you can do a discipleship class on Wednesday nights. You can do it during Sunday school. You can do it Sunday nights during church. Be creative. We are finding that people are busy. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to have a discipleship class on Tuesday night, church on Wednesday night, visitation on Thursday night, something every night of the week. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to utilize the space and the time of regular church times when we can do discipleship. And right now we have a group meeting on Wednesday nights during the service. They don't even come into the church service. They have their own separate time, and then we're meeting with people individually through the week. I purposefully plan my week around my discipleship. And I can handle maybe 3 guys at the same time, but that's about it. There was one time I was discipling 4 guys, and I said, Lord, I can't, this is too much, you know. So I've backed it down to 2. Right now I'm at 2. So that's what I do. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Are there any questions, comments? We've got about 5 minutes.
You mentioned a certificate. Is that something to continue to provide, or you just make it up on your own?
I make it up on my own. You know, this hereby certifies that Jared Mitchell completed discipleship 1, and I sign it. My church clerk signs it. Our youth pastor signs it. Makes it look nice. And a lot of times what we'll do too is we'll buy the frame, a cheap frame at Walmart, and we'll frame it to them and present them on a Sunday morning at the end of the service. So it's a big deal. And most of my people will put it on the wall. When you go to their house, it's hanging on the wall in their house. Great question. Somebody else? Question, comment? Everybody see the process. It's not hard. Okay? The key is good curriculum. And again, and that's my next class. But and Paul Chappell, I know Dr. Chappell, I've met him several times. I have some dear friends. We have students at West Coast from our church. He didn't pay me to promote the book, but this is a good book. Okay? It's probably one of the best tools that I've seen in our fundamental churches in the last year. Yeah.
What do you say you do on Wednesday? Do you have somebody else do that? And you handle the main service?
Yeah, I've trained some people in our church to walk them through Continue. And what I did is I took some of our men through Continue, and I had a hidden agenda so they can teach others. Okay. So I'm out of the class. I don't do the class. Okay.
Now, talking about getting that book for $10. Is there certain times that we need to be aware of?
I would call the folks at Striving Together. They have 800 numbers. See what they'll do for you. We got ours. If you order 10 or more, they let you have them for $10. They're normally $15. So sometimes they have specials. You just have to watch them. I talked to a Brother Getch at the table today. He's been in our church. He's preached for me. I think they have some at the table. Go and see. Well, tell him I sent you. See what he says. He may give you a group, but I don't know what he's going to give you. I don't know what he's going to give you. But I think they're normally 15, okay? They're normally, $14.95. So, you know, we have a plan in place, and it's a great book. My goal, about 2 years ago, I got frustrated, and I told my men, I said, I'm going to write a book on discipleship. And then Paul Chappell came out with a continue book, so praise God, I didn't have to do it. But I was going to take all these books right here, and I was going to put them in one book and have a printer print them. But I don't have to do that now. And I called the folks at First Bible Baptist. They know me because I've done a lot of business with them, and they gave me permission. I've used these in the jails. The problem with this in the jail is in our county jail, and if you go to, it has staples. And if it has a staple in it, they're not going to let you take it back. So what this does is this helps us. I haven't really introduced this much in our jails yet. I have a whole team of people that go to our jail, so I'm sort of out of that. But this has no staples in it, so that helps that solution too. So I used to take these into the jail and take the staples out and give it to them. Okay? Any other questions or thoughts? Was it helpful? Was it good? You understand how we do it? Okay? Real simple. But you have to be intentional on your discipleship. You have to have a plan. And that's what I want you to see today. You have to be intentional, and you have to have a plan as to what you're going to do. And the plan is this book right here. Now, I know that this is not infallible. It's just a tool. But we have resources available for us today to help us. But God gives us... Listen, I've said this, and I don't want to be preachy here today, but don't tell me how many people you've walked down the aisle that has been saved. I want to know how many people you're discipling. Say, I want to know.
Discipleship 2 and 3. Where are you getting those materials?
Send me afterwards. Okay. Well, I'll tell you. I've got some other stuff in here. What we have done is I have several books that I have used. I would usually start with these two from Striving Together, The Steps of a Good Man, and Show Thyself a Man. These would be Discipleship 2. Okay? These are books for men. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what I would do. And then I have some other books from Jim George, A Husband After God's Own Heart, God's Man of Influence, and A Leader After God's Own Heart. Jim George is at MacArthur School out in California. He's been on staff there. Written some good men's material. Okay? I know my time is up.
Are there other books primarily for women?
His wife, Jim George, his wife has written some books for women too. And you can get those on Amazon as well. Okay? So I hope that helps you. Okay? My time is up.